In Beijing, when the Olympics open on Friday, it will be 7 years since the International Olympic Committee selected the Chinese capital. The IOC said the Games would help change China. Critics had argued against giving China the Olympics based on the country's human rights record, and now those critics say they've been proven right. From Beijing, NPR's Howard Berkus reports.
The Beijing Olympics are as politicized as the Games get. They've attracted Tibetan demonstrators outside the Chinese embassy in Washington.
Boycott China now!
Boycott China now!
And Darfur activists outside the New York studios of Olympics broadcaster NBC.
Give Darfur another look! Don't let China off the hook!
There were also protesters greeting the Olympic torch relay, and there's been pressure on political leaders to avoid the Games. Even back in July of 2001, when Beijing was named Olympic host, human rights activists said China didn't deserve the Games. But officials at the International Olympic Committee said hosting the Olympics would transform China. That hasn't happened, says T. Kumar of Amnesty International.
Because of Olympics, certain type of abuses are increasing in China. To have the smooth Olympics, they are basically abusing the rights of their own citizens at this moment.
Kumar cites the bulldozing of neighborhoods for Olympic-related development and this short list of government actions seemingly aimed at making the Games dissident-free.
Imprisoning people in labor camps under re-education through labor, silencing human rights defenders and political activists, harassing and abusing the lawyers, as well as tightening the internet freedom.
This is largely an external view. In China, there's enormous enthusiasm for the Games and widespread satisfaction with the direction of the country. That's what a recent poll found. 3,000 mostly urban Chinese were surveyed face-to-face for the Pew Global Attitudes Project. Andy Kohut supervised the polling.
Well, the Chinese are celebrating the success of their economy. They're satisfied with their country. And 82% say their economy is good.
Explosive economic growth means the Chinese people have more money than ever, more ways to spend that money, and more freedom to work, live, and travel where they want. But that's not due to the Olympics, says John Micklethwaite, the editor of The Economist, which has analyzed the political and economic impacts of the Beijing Games.
China is a freer, better, richer place than it was when it was awarded the Games. But actually, at closer examination, what seemed to come through was that, firstly, it's more to do with things like opening up the economy as a whole, and to do with odd things like the spread of mobile telephony, the impact of that on freedom. By contrast, most of the actual impact of the Games themselves have tended to be in the opposite direction.
The criticism of China waned a bit in the wake of the May earthquake that killed about 70,000. But it's back, as thousands of journalists descend on Beijing. Some arrived to find a clear example of how the Games did not spur openness. They'd been promised freedom to report, but found they couldn't access key internet sites from the Olympic press centers, including BBC China and Amnesty International. That prompted this confrontation last week between reporters and Beijing Olympic spokesman Sun Wei.
The internet access in China is fully open.
It's not true, sir.
Organized the Olympic Games, we have been providing sufficient and convenient internet access for the
report. That doesn't answer the question, sir.
The International Olympic Committee pressured Chinese authorities to honor the promise of unhindered reporting, and some websites are now accessible, but others continue to remain off limits. The IOC has not used the same bully pulpit to stridently pressure China on human rights, and that disappoints T. Kumar at Amnesty International. He cites language in the IOC's own charter, which says
that Olympics stands for some dignity and human rights issues. So they have a duty and responsibility. They are not doing it for whatever reason.
Olympic Committee spokeswoman Giselle Davis provides this explanation.
It has to be remembered that the IOC is a sports organization, and electing Beijing as the host city some 7 years ago was really with a vision to see how sport and the coming together of the world could have a positive impact, but it's not for us to make direct statements on the matter of human rights. It's really a discussion between governments and the relevant organizations who are the experts in those fields.
Government-to-government talk about human rights is expected when President Bush arrives in Beijing for the Olympics. He plans to spend 4 days mixing politics and sports. The president also enlisted U.S. Olympians in a more subtle form of diplomacy when he addressed them last month in the Rose Garden at the White House.
You will represent America's love for freedom and our regard for human rights and human dignity. You'll represent to other athletes and to the people of China.
But once the games begin, expect the politics to be overshadowed. That's what Jacques Rogge says. The president of the International Olympic Committee insists Beijing is still the right choice.
So absolutely no regrets. I would say that I'm sure that come the 9th of August, the day after the opening ceremony, the magic of the games in a flawless organization will take over.
Unless human rights protesters manage to get past security, and unless activist athletes risk the wrath of Olympic and Chinese authorities by speaking out in the Olympic spotlight. Howard Berkus, NPR News, Beijing.